Well, a very pleasant, good Monday afternoon. May I be of the first to wish you a happy Monday here on WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760. You can stream us live. You can catch up with the show with a podcast. You can do all of that at WJR.com, or I presume also on the free WJR app. Now, Facebook and YouTube pages are live streaming the show as we speak. We've got a lot going on to get you the Relentless Positive Radio, and there's been an awful lot of news before we even began, before we even came on the air. It's just, I'm afraid it's hitting the fan, so to speak. Let's do the positive that we started, that our plan was to start the show with. We're going to stay with that plan, and then we'll get to some of this news. Both Michigan State and Michigan are heading to the Sweet 16. And the team is happy. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason, running all the controls, the queen of switches, we say. Rich Luzinski, keeping track of the WJR traffic and weather first. First of all, did everyone have a nice weekend? Yes?
Yes, I did. I did something for the first time, Paul.
My goodness gracious, what might that have been?
I went to Monster Jam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was at Ford Field.
Doesn't it kind of surprise you how they can pile up all that dirt and all that stuff?
Yes.
On the field without hurting it, apparently. Well, we hope they didn't hurt it.
And on top of that, they change it around between events, too. So, the show is obviously the monster trucks, but I think the show myself and all the dads were watching was how the backhoes and the bulldozers would rearrange the dirt between each event.
So that alone was a show in itself.
Yes,
huh?
Worth the price of admission.
Oh, well, that's funny. Those things have been strong for a very long time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I had no idea really what was going on, but, it was cool to see the jumps and the cars fall apart and things catch on fire. And
big crowd?
Yeah, they said it was a sold-out crowd. It wasn't quite as crazy as a Lions game, but I think for Lions, even when the seats sell out, there's still a lot of standing room, which I think this was just a sellout of the seats. So big crowd, but it wasn't unmanageable. It still felt like you had a lot of room to walk around in the bathroom, and the drink lines weren't that long. So it's a nice experience.
Good. Daniele?
Good weekend.
She's a woman of very few words. That's fine. I'm glad you had a good weekend. I hope he was around.
Yeah. We went to Traverse City.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a vacation. That's when you go with your bae on vacation.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought she was talking about the Grand Traverse Bay.
Technically that too. I was on a bay.
Yes, you were on a bay by the bay with the bay.
Yeah.
They've been chosen as like the top city for restaurants too. So you had to have a good meal somewhere.
I had way too many good meals.
Excellent. Well, I'm very happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm. How was the beach?
There wasn't a beach. No, I didn't even know there was a beach.
Well, there
isn't.
Just
all ice.
Both Michigan State and Michigan heading to the Sweet 16. Third seeded Michigan State beat number 6 Louisville 77-69 Saturday night. They'll take on second-seeded UConn Friday night at 9:45 in Washington, D.C. That's late. And then Nick Lundberg, our expert, is going to weigh in on how Michigan State and Michigan should do in their next matchups. Top-seeded Michigan beat ninth-seeded St. Louis 95-72 Saturday night, advancing to a Sweet 16 matchup against fourth-ranked Alabama. They'll tip off Friday at 7:35 in Chicago. In total, 5 Big Ten teams have made it to the Sweet 16, including Iowa, who beat defending national champion Florida with a game-winning 3 with less than 5 seconds left in the game. Michigan women's team also advanced to the Sweet 16, beating North Carolina State 92-63 yesterday. Along the way, Michigan State's women put in a heck of a fight they were going to beat somebody that they weren't supposed to beat.
Yeah, hold on a second. I was just looking at that.
Yeah.
It was close. Oklahoma, they lost 77-71 to Oklahoma. They were the fifth seed, and Oklahoma was the fourth seed.
They were given a strong fight, too, and it was close, so we salute them as well. People are talking about ICE assisting TSA at airports, and from the bizarre stuff going on, there's Senator Kennedy, the guy with the drawl. Like him. I just like
the Southern guy.
Anything.
Yeah,
Southern guy. He just always has these Southern sayings. You can't put lipstick on a pig. If you do, it's still a pig. Anyway, so he was in the middle of a speech. And I guess they're discussing, which I don't think is a bad idea, withholding congressional pay, you know, until Congress actually does their job.
Yeah, I bet you 99% of people out there would be
human
in favor
beings,
of that. Yeah.
We the people that employ those guys. But the Democrats, they got up and left. They got up and left. Of course they did. Because they know that they're responsible for this, and they know that this is blowing up in their faces. But to be so obvious to the American people when somebody makes a suggestion that makes a lot of sense, okay, you're going to expect TSA agents to not get paid? Then you don't get paid till you do their job and they get paid.
Right.
And they walked out. Well, now you know what we've been talking about for some time. They bring this upon themselves. They've earned this bad reputation they have, at least around ICE and everything else that they can't control at this point. But the story keeps going around about Elon Musk wanting to pay the TSA workers.
Yeah, I saw that too, which, hey, God bless, do it. I'd be for that.
I would not be a bit surprised if there's some law against doing that.
Mm.
I'm not saying that that's a good law.
No, but you're right. I mean, when you think of laws and bureaucratic red tape, that would not be a surprise at all.
Well, the idea that people with a lot of money could start to control whole divisions of the government by saying, I'll pay them. You know, I can see there being rules that say, wait a minute, it sounds good, but...
He should just get them Visa gift cards for their pay every week or something.
Well, something like that. Please, when you go to the airport, be nice. At the very least, be nice. If you can take a gift card, that's a great idea. But just be nice.
Right.
These people are, by their job, they have to come to work no matter what. And some are quitting because they need to pay their bills no matter what.
And from what I'm hearing, Paul... At least as of this morning, Detroit Metro has been faring pretty well.
Very well. We were there Saturday.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job.
But they say the return home flight back to Metro from other airports, you might see some snags, especially Atlanta's like the worst, I think.
Atlanta had a 2 or 3 hour. Imagine waiting 2 or 3 hours to get through security at LaGuardia and then... You get on your plane and they say, folks, we're not going to be able to take off. Everything's been shut down. And so then you sit on the tarmac for hours. And those planes that aren't going till maybe 2 o'clock this afternoon in less than 2 hours from now, they're all connected. These planes are all connected all over the country. And it's going to be a mess like we needed a further mess. But this very sad story, the Canada Air plane and a fire truck crashing. On the runway, a pilot and co-pilot killed. Control tower error. So you Democrats better take some responsibility for what's going on here. Blumenthal, this guy doesn't want ICE at the airports because he said there'll be immigration raids, which is funny. The air traffic controller involved says on tape, I messed up. And then they apparently dealt with an earlier emergency, and they're understaffed.
Right.
He was no doubt doing the work of more than one person.
Right.
And that's not going to work. This is what happens. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was a fire truck that the airplane crashed into, and that fire truck was dealing with an emergency on another aircraft. So
on a United plane where people were vomiting because of some fumes. A couple of flight attendants got sick. There were fumes, and they were going out to check it. And there's the tape where you hear the fire truck asking permission to cross the runway, and the guy said yes. And then all of a sudden he realized, no, 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 because a plane was coming in. And that plane was only halfway down the runway, so they're still going 50, 100, I don't know, fast. And you saw the damage on the front of that plane. It's gone.
Yeah, it was disintegrated.
And the two people sitting up there are dead. Nobody else died, but those two people are dead, and there were a lot of injuries on the plane. Just a horrible situation. And what else? We don't need anything else. We got the whole thing going on in Iran, and now we're not blowing them out of the water again because they get five more days to decide what they're going to do or not going to do. They said, the White House saying, we've had productive discussions. Iran saying, we haven't had any discussions. I don't know what's going on, folks. I'll tell you the truth as I know it, but I don't know if it's the truth from anybody that we're getting right now. As you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. And we also know that we want to thank you for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. That happens when you listen to WJR at any time. You're getting the best, and we're happy to be a part of that with our relentless positive radio. Stay with us. Well, if you're waiting to find out, I cover your ears. But yes, as we open the show with Michigan and Michigan State going to the Sweet 16, which is all good news. And certainly Ryan will have the very latest on that and also the horrific accident at LaGuardia Airport with an Air Canada Express regional jet colliding with a fire truck. And we'll get you information as it becomes available. They're shooting for the airport opening back up at 2 this afternoon. It's a mess, and it's very sad. Jared Halpern is here, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire. Many things to talk about, Jared. Nice to have you here. I hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, we finally had spring arrive in D.C., a very nice weekend.
Oh, good for you. Are the cherry blossoms out?
They are, and so are all of the people who like to see them.
Yeah, well, there's something to see. They are special.
They are.
And it was nice of the Japanese prime minister to, though she may have considered taking them back.
I said the same thing. Are they going to take their blossoms back?
250 new ones, but she left them from everything I've heard. Okay. Anyway.
They are still there. Yeah, she did.
Oh, good. Good.
That was a moment, right, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a moment. Yeah, but, you know, aren't we kind of used to the moments? I mean, in fact, I'll jump right ahead to the second thing I was going to ask you about. Not surprised. Disappointed, yes, on the president's comments on a former Marine hero who happened to become the head of the FBI and happened to get involved in the politics of checking out the president on his first run for president. Robert Mueller's death, you don't expect anybody, let alone the president of the United States, to step out and say, oh, yeah, good, I'm glad he's dead.
It was something that, again, I think serves as a distraction. Republicans over the weekend were asked about it, and most of them chose not to comment. Or some were critical of the president, certainly, for saying that. I mean, obviously, you know, Robert Mueller was the special counsel who led the Russia investigation. Notable to point out that Robert Mueller was appointed by President Trump's deputy attorney general at the time. Robert Mueller was a longtime FBI director. He actually took the job. He was confirmed, I think it was September 4th of 2001, and obviously led the FBI's largest investigation in the Bureau's history, was re-nominated for that job by a Democrat president, went into retirement, was brought out of retirement to lead that investigation into the Russia collusion investigation, and then obviously fell out of favor with President Trump.
Yeah, I had not realized until his obituary that he actually had been apparently a well-decorated Marine.
He served in the Marines in Vietnam, was a platoon leader, was awarded the Purple Heart, and talked about in interviews that he was decided to join the Marines because a classmate of his, I think at Princeton, who was a year ahead of him, was killed in action. And that served as kind of a sign for him, and he said some of his other classmates to join and serve their country because of what their classmate meant to them.
Okay, well, the other story that we wanted to ask you about very quickly is the fact that the president is sending ICE to airports to help TSA during shutdown, and we've got Democrats all up in arms about that. We got Blumenthal saying, well, there'll be immigration raids while people are standing in line. Well, that's not supposed to be what they're doing. They're supposed to be there to help TSA do their mission.
They are. I think there's still some questions about what that looks like. Obviously, TSA and ICE have very different missions. It seems like at least in the first day here, what you are seeing ICE agents do is kind of that first perimeter, kind of making sure passengers are in the right line. You oftentimes see TSA agents doing that. Obviously, you know, checking the bags, using that scanning equipment takes a level of training that a lot of these ICE agents are not going to have. But we have seen at some of these airports now 40%, 30% sick out rates, call out rates, and that is what's leading to these, in many cases, 3-4 hour long lines. And so this is an attempt, again, to try and ease that a little bit. And it also, I think, from a political standpoint, puts attention on this. So this is also now being used as another pressure point here as Republicans try and get Democrats to agree to these DHS negotiations, these funding negotiations, which seem to be moving. But there's a big, I mean, the expectation is it needs to get done this week. The Senate is supposed to go on recess next week for 2 weeks, as they traditionally do around Passover and Easter. Obviously, that will be cut short or canceled altogether, one would think, if they don't get a deal. But we'll see if this is a move that kind of gets that ball rolling. There certainly over the weekend seemed to be maybe a measured optimism from Senate leaders that talks were going forward. And I think the confirmation that we expect of Mark Wayne Mullen later this evening also maybe helps move that ball in the right direction.
Well, we also had I saw a video of Senator Kennedy, who was in the middle of a speech on the floor and then stunned by Democrats blocking a bill to withhold congressional pay until TSA members get paid. And then they left. It was
not very smart. Both sides are doing that. I mean, Democrats tried to get unanimous consent on a bill that would have paid the TSA last week, and it was blocked by Republicans. I mean,
People are mad at both sides.
Or messaging things that both sides do in these moments when there doesn't seem to be common ground on moving an agreement forward.
It's unacceptable that these are our employees, and they are screwing us, and it's just unacceptable. I don't know what we do about it except remember this during elections, I guess.
We have elections in November, yeah.
Okay. Appreciate your help always, sure, Jared Halpern. Talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Jared Halpern, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. In Focus with Paul W. Smith, we try to give you relentless positive radio. It's not always easy. Stay with us. Justin Kirk, born and raised in Macomb County, shaped by the same working class values, faith, and grit that define the community he's proud to call home, still calls home, still lives in Macomb. And I'm glad he's a listener and his people are listeners, and they've called in and said, we ought to get to know Justin Kirk, who's running for the soon-to-be-vacated John James seat in Congress. Justin Kirk is running as a Republican in the 10th District. Justin, nice meeting you. It's Paul W.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me on. And that was a great introduction, a great summation. I appreciate that. You know, you've been a staple on the airwaves my entire life. So it's an honor, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, very nice of you to say, Justin. Just tell my listeners, they're the most important ones right now, the ones that have to make some decisions. Tell them why you're running.
Well, Paul, I think it's time to bring some Macomb County values to Washington, D.C. You know, my whole life I've lived in this county and been represented by people who are not from here. You know, they're from Oakland County, and the district is 90% Macomb County. So they don't know what it's like to grow up here. And when I think of Macomb County, I think of my father, who's a successful attorney. He worked his way through school working on the back of a garbage truck in Macomb County. You know, he's built a successful business. And so that's what I mean. It's about Macomb County values. It's inherent. It's hard work, earning what you get. And really, it boils down to common sense, really.
So what would you say, Justin Kirk, would be the most important issues facing the 10th District?
Well, you know, our defense industry is always one that comes to mind. You know, Selfridge is obviously a huge part of the 10th District here. It employs 6,000 people on the base, supports 30,000 jobs statewide, and almost $1 billion in economic impact to the state of Michigan. A lot of that's localized in the district. And, you know, I think even Governor Whitmer understands the importance of Selfridge Air National Guard Base. It's a bipartisan issue. There's few left today. You know, we have to look to the future, how we can keep it relevant moving forward. The F-15EX program is a great start, but it's not an end point. We have to continue iterating. And I don't think we can forget the Mountain Road Corridor, which is one of the largest concentrations of ground combat defense manufacturing in the United States, and over 200 defense contractors and subsidiaries that work there. We have to think of ways to attract new businesses, more businesses, grow the ones that are existing in the district, and that goes along with supporting national defense, which is an issue I'll focus on in Congress. A second one would be, you know, $1 billion of fraud that we've seen. You know, in 2024, Medicare reported $54 billion in improper payments. Medicaid reported $31 billion in improper payments. That's almost the entirety of the state of Michigan's budget in improper payments. You know, that's not the potential fraud we've seen in California or Minnesota. Those are just what Medicare and Medicaid report themselves. And I think that is wholly irresponsible. You know, Elon Musk, when he ran Doge, which I love the idea of, said that he thought that 10% of our $7.1 trillion budget was potentially lost to fraud. I mean, $700 billion, that's every single year. So that cannot be allowed to continue, and is something I'm going to work hard to root out in Congress.
Go ahead. No, you go. You paused. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I appreciate it. One last topic I want to hit on is jobs. You know, I think the administration's focused on this. I was with J.D. Vance last Tuesday when he came to the state, which shows that the administration is acutely focused on this. You know, Macomb County and the surrounding area was the beating heart of the arsenal of democracy in World War II, with the Sherman tanks built at the Detroit Arsenal and the bombers rolling off the assembly line at Willow Run. So I know the Trump administration's focused on onshoring manufacturing, you know, making it fair for American companies and American workers. And I want to help President Trump bring these jobs back, because in the district here, we know how to build things right and build things well.
Justin Kirk, running for Congress as a Republican in the 10th District, earned his degree from the University of Michigan and his law degree from Michigan State University College of Law. Building a respected legal career, it sounds like following in your dad's footsteps, which is great. And you mentioned President Trump. Do you support President Trump's agenda?
Of course, I do. I think President Trump has worked hard for the American people. I think he continues to do so, as you see with J.D. Vance's visit, that he's focused on the Midwest, manufacturing jobs. You know, if you just look at the border issue, I think in his first year, they deported over 400,000 criminal legal aliens. 55,000 of those, which is a low estimate, are violent criminals, which is 55,000 violent criminals out of our communities, off our streets. And you know, every illegal immigrant that is deported is another home for an American, more Medicaid dollars for Americans, less strain on our emergency services, and higher wages for all Americans. And this is something, you know, in a manufacturing-heavy district like the 10th and in Macomb County, that's something we feel acutely. So we see those benefits.
What would you say sets yourself apart from your competitors, Justin?
You know, I grew up here, Paul. You know, I'm a fourth-generation Macomb County resident. And, you know, as I said, Macomb County makes up about 90% of the district. And in my lifetime, I've never had a representative that is from Macomb County. You know, I have an opponent that's saying that he's running for his ethnic group, and another opponent who has never lived in this district, let alone this county. So I'm the only one who's born and raised here, and I'm running for everybody in the 10th District and Macomb County, every resident, because I know what it's like to grow up here and because I'll be ready on day one. I was an attorney in private practice, as you eloquently described, and I have experience working on the Hill in D.C., so I understand how legislation moves through committee, how the House operates, so I can begin working for the people of this great district on the very first day I'm in office.
Justin, how can people come online to find more information about you?
Yeah, they can go to justinkirk2026.com. It outlines my background, like I said, as you described, as well as the issues that I'm focused on. Events coming up, our socials. So that's the best place to get in touch.
JustinKirk2026.com. JustinKirk2026.com. Very nice meeting you. We wish you good luck, Justin.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me the time. And like I said, it's an honor to be on your show here.
running for Congress as a Republican in the 10th District to fill the soon-to-be-empty John James seat. As we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Well, there's a lot going on in our world, and this part is a part of the other stuff going on that's not so good. We talked about it at the beginning, the Air Canada plane colliding with a fire truck while landing at LaGuardia, New York's LaGuardia Airport, late last night. Killed the pilot and the co-pilot, injuring dozens. Our Director of Community Affairs and News, Marie Osborne, joins us with the very latest details. Marie, good afternoon.
Hi there, Paul. The pictures from this are absolutely incredible.
Horrifying.
This crash occurred about 11:40 last night. The plane struck as a rescue vehicle was responding to a separate incident. Here's what it sounded like.
Frontier 4195, just stop there, please. Stop, truck one, stop.
Yeah, so you can hear the desperation there in the voice. The plane was carrying 72 passengers, four crew members. The FAA issued a ground stop at LaGuardia shortly after this aircraft collision due to the emergency. Newly released air traffic control audio revealed the reaction to the accident after it happened.
That wasn't good to watch.
Yeah, I know I was here. I tried to reach out to my stuff, and we were dealing with an emergency earlier. I messed up.
No, man, you did the best you could.
So Executive Director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Catherine Garcia, spoke to the press later in the evening to give her update.
Initial numbers indicate that 41 passengers and crew were transported to the hospital as well as the ARF officers. At this time, we understand that 32 have been released, but there are also serious injuries.
So ARF means the aircraft rescue and firefighting. The accident happened as the plane was landing. Again, the plane was carrying 72 passengers, four crew members, and we don't know if weather played a role in all this, Paul. So an investigation is very much underway.
And the sad news is that indeed, because when I first heard this, I said, well, how is that possible? And the first thing I thought, frankly, was that the fire truck was at fault, that obviously landing airplanes have precedence over everybody. They are mm-hmm. a number one. But then we heard the air traffic controller tell the fire truck it was safe to cross the runway. And then we heard the air traffic controller say, sadly, I messed up. Then someone else said, you're doing the best you can do. So my question is, was that air traffic controller doing the work of more than one person? And I bet that he was.
Well, that's the question. Also, you heard in that one cut where he says there was an emergency here earlier. So
I wondered if that was where the fire truck was going, which I had heard. No, there's no real report out, but I'd heard it was because of fumes on a United flight that actually sickened two flight attendants. So they decided to send the fire truck to check it out to try to figure out what was going on. That might have been the emergency he was referring to. I don't really know, though. Who knows?
Right. This is just, though, a snapshot into what life as an air traffic controller is like, the importance of these jobs, and how what the kind of stress they are under in those towers every minute of every single day on their shifts.
Can you imagine? I mean, I've been in air traffic control towers a long time ago. I can't even remember what city it was. But you look at what they're looking at, and it is maddening to see all these little figures that are airplanes going all over the place. And they have to be, I know they have their own specific areas they're trying to take control of and pay attention to, but it is, you put it right, it is an incredibly stressful job. And if you all of a sudden are trying to do this shorthanded, you're going to have problems. You're going to have accidents like we just did.
It remains to be seen if they're going to clearly point to that in the end, but it just sort of seems that that's what it's adding up to be. It just also, one of the things that always baffles me is when you listen to these audio cuts, and we've heard them so many times before in an emergency, the pilots talking to one of them, it's hard to understand them. And you have to be able to really focus in on their language and know what they're saying. But for us civilians, it's really hard to understand.
That's a very good point. And it reminds me of that horrific thing at Ronald Reagan Airport when the Air Force helicopter came in and hit the airplane and everybody died. But the air traffic controller saying, do you see the incoming? I mean, my God, there were 17 incomings.
Yeah.
There had to be more specific. Do you see the such and such flight? I mean, I don't know how you do that, but they clearly didn't see each other. And in this situation, I'm guessing, this is all guessing, that the Air Canada pilot and co-pilot certainly saw the fire truck. I assume the fire truck's lights were flashing and saw him off to the side, but didn't expect him to then pull in front of their path as they were landing. I mean, because that's where the air traffic controllers control and make sure that that doesn't happen. So a horrible circumstance and situation. Everyone in our thoughts and prayers. They haven't even opened LaGuardia back up, and the plan was to open it at 2. I don't know if you've heard anything more.
You know, I heard that as well, but it just depends how far they are on this investigation and how that area has been cleaned up. I just haven't had a real clear look on that in a little while. So it still looks like 2 o'clock is on, but that could change.
We hope that those that were seriously injured pull through this okay, and our thoughts and prayers to the family of the pilot and the co-pilot who died. Marie, thanks for the update. We do appreciate
it. Thank you.
There's an awful lot going on, my friends, and we're glad you're here on News Talk 760 WJR on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. Don't know how much QTR we have. None of us do. As Kim would remind us, quality time remaining. But I do want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. That's if you listen to WJR. That puts you into that very good group. We've got another hour of lots of interesting conversation coming up on WJR. Hour number 2, Relentless Positive Radio with the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and you. You're an important part of the team, and I thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Whenever you listen to WJR, you achieve that. While you're on your way now to making each and every day count, each day is a gift. We've covered much of the news. You can stream us, by the way, right now, or catch up later with a podcast at WJR.com. We hope you'll do that. We hope you'll get the free WJR app. And, of course, Facebook and YouTube pages are now live streaming our show. We're happy to be a part of this beautiful lineup from JR Mornings to Daily Dose of Dietz, All Talk with Kevin Dietz, then following us immediately, JR Afternoon, Ryan Armani, then it's Mitch Albom and Sports Wrap and all the great programming you've come to expect at this great radio station, the great voice of the Great Lakes. We've already talked about Michigan and Michigan State going to the Sweet 16, all good news. Oh, I wanted to mention this before I forget. I got to say it again. We had a great Corktown Popes entertaining for us at the St. Patrick's Day party, and I was saddened to see. I mean, all good things come to an end, but they told me that March 26th, which is 3 days from now, will be their farewell show at the Cadieu Cafe. So if you've ever enjoyed the Corktown Popes as much as we have and are so thankful for them, I hope you'll make their farewell show a biggie and show up at the Cadieu Cafe March 26th. That's all I know. I don't know timing or anything else. Do you, Mike? I don't know.
I don't, but how long have they been doing your St. Patrick's Day, Paul? Yeah,
a long time, and they've been together longer.
I guess
you know what I mean? They've been together a long time.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. That was their big break, becoming the official band of the Paul W. Smith St. Patrick's Day Party.
That's nice of you to say, but I think they were pretty big before they they came on board. You say, what's it came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right. I guess we'll have to hold auditions or something for next year. I don't know.
We'll have to, or we could start a band. I've always wanted to play drums in a band where we could actually afford equipment.
Right.
When I did it in a garage band, we didn't have good equipment because we had no money. But that was about 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I'll play kazoo, and then I guess everyone can just come talk to you at the drum kit between sets, and that'll be the show.
Oh, he knows the lingo, the drum kit.
Yeah. Can I play the accordion? I really want to.
Lady of Spain.
All right, this next one's called Hot Cross Buns.
I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, all right.
I think it would be a great time. How did you pick up the accordion?
I don't know how to play it.
The handles.
I just aspire to play it.
Really, you're the first person I've ever known who has said out loud, you know, I wish I'd played accordion.
I had a really long conversation the other day about the accordion.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting instrument, that's for sure. You know, it's never too late. There's somebody out there just anxious to give you lessons. I took piano lessons, and I never showed up, because the only time I could book them was at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, my.
And let me tell you, that's one of the easiest things to skip when you're exhausted and you just want to go home and you go, oh, but it's 8:45. I've got a piano lesson.
Right. No, thank you.
It's too sad because I wish I'd had a typing course because I still henpeck at my keyboard for my computer. I wish I learned another language. It's a joke. I knew more French before I took French than I did after. And
pardon my French.
Yeah. And I wish I played piano. Hey, I'm happy to see this. Happy to see that the Free Press has taken a look at this. Have you been getting these texts saying that you have unpaid tickets and tolls? And these guys are morons, but
yes,
they're all a scam.
Right.
And apparently it's a big enough problem that the Free Press actually wrote a story about it.
And I feel like this was going around maybe a year or two ago.
It comes around all the time.
Yeah, they're counting on people forgetting, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, when they tell me I didn't pay the toll, I go, guys, at least pick places that have toll roads.
Well,
but, you know,
it almost got me, Paul, because I have some unpaid tolls in Illinois.
What?
I guess I'm
so
a fugitive.
You thought they were coming after you?
Well, there was a second, but I'm like, well, I'm not paying them anyway, so I'm not clicking on this link.
All right. I did not mean to hear your confession, but I'm happy to hear it if you feel better now. It's a problem. But here's the other problem. If these people get caught after making all this money, they get a slap on the wrist. They should go to prison for life. That's what I say about scammers now. Prison for life. No chance of parole for any scammers. Because if they'll do that, they'll do anything.
Right. As a deterrent, too.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Trump administration lifts sanctions on millions of barrels of Iranian oil. That's confusing.
They're going to sell us anyway.
Well, I mean, I don't get that. Federal judge rules restrictive Pentagon press policy. That's the one where they didn't want bad pictures of Texas?
No, I think it's the one where they were only allowed to cover stories that were approved by the Pentagon.
Oh, okay. You can't do that with the Free Press. They wouldn't be the Free Press if you do that.
Yeah, it's public relations at that point.
We talked about Elon Musk offering to pay the TSA workers' salaries amid DHS budget standoff. It's somebody in the news, one of these. I've watched too many news shows. It really is not good for you to do that, but I have to, so you don't have to. Somebody said, well, can he afford to do that? Are you kidding me? He can afford to pay everybody's salary in the United States.
Right. Of all the questions I had about this, could he afford it, was not one of them.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. Let's see. AOC's shrink spree. So AOC, America Off Course, the representative from she's a Democrat, not demented, from New York. Well, demented from New York. Spent nearly $19,000 in campaign cash last year on a shrink who specializes in the controversial ketamine therapy.
Oh.
So she had an expensive drug dealer.
Yeah, that's
that she paid for out of campaign money. She just is more impressive every time.
That's dangerous. Isn't that how Matthew Perry died?
Yes, ketamine. You're absolutely right. Good memory. wave of shark attacks. Now, this may not capture anyone else's attention, but shark attacks turned deadlier in 2025, with fatalities spiking 125% worldwide. There were 65 unprovoked bites and 9 deaths, according to the Florida Museum of Natural History's annual International Shark Attack Report. Do you hear how many I said in 2025? 65?
Yeah.
And 9 deaths? Only 4 deaths globally were clocked in 2024.
Wow, so the sharks are getting angrier.
The sharks are getting hungrier and angrier. This means the U.S. led the world in unprovoked attacks with 25 last year, including only one fatality, which occurred in California on December 21st. Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
But yeah, anyway, it's kind of like these weird videos that we see of like whales attacking boats now.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. What's making them go crazy? Cash-strapped Americans are rediscovering Depression-era pantry staple. Do you know what this staple is?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Spam.
Yes.
Ugh.
Well done. It's flying off the shelves. Anxious shoppers are turning to the canned meat for sustenance and savings, according to Hormel Foods. I must say, I can't remember the last time I had Spam.
No, me either.
But you went, ugh, so you remember it not in a nice way.
Yeah, I just remember how the gelatinous form of the can it took.
Oh, that sounds even worse.
That's
the
all
gelatinous
I can think about, yeah.
form of the can it took. But that's true with like Jello.
Cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce looks like the can. The cranberries. I still love the cranberries. End of an era, AIR-A. 100 years later, CBS News Radio to go silent. You know, we at one time had CBS News on WJR, but we apparently saw this coming.
We've
had like 3 different news companies since then.
We've only got 30 years before this is shut down.
We better get out of this now while we can. Okay, here we go.
Anytime people in radio lose their jobs, it's sad, whether they're competitors or not, right?
Well, yeah, and it's happening. And it will continue to happen in the newspaper business, the television business, and the radio business. Sadly. I can't say they didn't bring it upon themselves, but that's a whole other long-term conversation. 114 at WJR. Well, the one and only Rocky Rajkowski, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. He has a very interesting view on everything going on in our crazy topsy-turvy world. As we understand it right now, and you may have much more than I do, the president is frozen on my monitor saying, Iran wants to settle, we'll get it done. Everything we hear from Iran is as if they haven't talked to anybody, though. So I don't really know. You might know, and you'll tell us. The president giving Iran 5 more days to open the Straits of Hormuz after what he said were productive talks. What do you know, Rocky? Welcome back.
How you doing, Paul W.? It's great to be on with you. And I got to tell you, what do I know? Absolutely nothing. This is out there. I have no idea how to read this one. Although I put a lot more trust in the White House and the administration than I would into the trust of any type of regime coming from Iran, who's continuously lied to us. But you're absolutely right. This one is really something, because here we've had the president draw the line in the sand, and this is one president that, when he draws the line in the sand, unlike President Obama and Syria, if you remember back in 2015, this president actually means what he says and says what he does. At least does what he says. Thank you. At least there you go. At least when it comes down to military actions. So he's given Iran 48 hours. What we're talking about is given Iran 48 hours. Otherwise, he's going to blow up their energy grid. And one thing that the regime cannot do is they cannot afford to lose their energy grid. If they lose their energy grid, they will be toppled immediately. But at the same time, if you think about this, if they get toppled with a new form of government that we find acceptable to the people of Iran and to the world, what will happen is those people will be many years in rebuilding a country that will be decimated. So we really don't want to blow up their energy grid unless it's the last resort. But with the 48 hours, then suddenly out of the blue came this discussion or this statement out of the White House and the president's Truth Social that said, hey, we're in negotiations and I'm going to extend it by 5 days. And even the New York Times is reporting that the president and the administration said that they held very good and productive talks on ending the conflict. But Iran, and this is the thing that really gets me.
Well, this
Iran
is what I was hoping you were going to take a look at this because it's very confusing, but go ahead.
Well, here's what Iran is saying. Iran is specifically saying that there are no negotiations with the United States and that the White House and Trump backed down from pressure from the markets as well as their own allies. So, were the markets tumbling and was the stock market futures going down, way down this morning before this announcement by the president? Absolutely they were, and suddenly they rebounded today with some
hopes. I watched the market early on when I came on the air at noon. I saw the market bouncing up.
Yeah, absolutely. It is on the way up. So the key here is, we have no idea, except because we have no idea where they're meeting or how they're communicating. And if they are communicating, I would believe that we should get General Colt on your show, because if they're communicating, then they're communicating through either our friends in Qatar or our friends in the UAE. Those are the two that are the only two emissaries that are able to communicate between both sides. Oman is out of the question now. But one thing that I will tell you, Paul W., and that is that in the next 3 to 4 days, maybe even 5 days, we will know which side was bluffing.
Well, it's a good idea, Mike Parsons, if you heard that. Ambassador John Rakolta has been our guest in the past, but it's been a while. So you suggest that he might have some inside insight, and we'll go wherever we need to get that. That's for sure. I don't know what else.
But, hey, Paul W., we'll know within the next 4 to 5 days, one way or the other, who was telling the truth and who was not. And my money is that I think President Trump is not one to draw a red line and then back out. And he
generally no. Generally no. But this was a big one, and the way things have gone, you don't know for sure what exactly has happened, because if he does go in and do what he says he was going to do if they didn't open the Straits of Hormuz, it does elevate this war, if it's possible, beyond where we are right now. I didn't think that was possible. But on the other hand, I didn't know there were areas where we weren't supposed to be hitting, which first came to my mind when Israel made an attack on some energy depots or dumps, and the president said, oh, no, we don't want you to do that. So then Netanyahu said the United States did not know what we were doing there, and they've asked us not to do it again, so we will not. And then a report came out that said the United States was very much aware of what Israel was up to. So it's getting pretty tough.
Yeah, it truly is. But at the same time, I will share this. I think the real crux here is the threats that are coming out of Iran. And some of these threats, I believe, are just threats. Others are very truthful. And when they say over the weekend, when they put out there that we will hit you when you least expect it, we will get you in your entertainment sites when you're eating food or when you're relaxing, that's a scary commentary coming out of Iran, because we do know that they do have sleeper cells throughout Europe and the United States that we're still trying to uncover and find.
Thank you, President Biden and your administration, for letting these people walk into our country, never understanding why secure borders meant something. Now we are paying that price.
But Paul W., more importantly, thank Mike Rogers for passing. He was the intel chair in the House. He's running for U.S. Senate. Thank you, Mike Rogers, for standing up and voting for the Patriot Act. A lot of people misunderstand what the Patriot Act is. The Patriot Act is surveillance of those foreigners, not U.S. citizens. Foreigners. The threats that Iran made just recently about attacking desalinization plants. These are where the Middle East is desalinating the water out of the waterways like the Mediterranean and
right.
the Arabian Sea to get
the only
water.
Way they have drinking water.
Exactly. That is a threat that could cause a humanitarian catastrophe.
Oh, well, I was starting to feel better until the end of our conversation. But God bless
Listen,
you, Rocky. Yes?
I think in the end, everything will work out the way that we planned it. I think that, quite frankly, now we found out that one of the Iranian generals was a Mossad officer, and we've gotten a lot of information on how they operate. So
right.
I think we know more about them than they do about us.
Let's Rocky Redskovsky, pray for peace always, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. As we continue in focus on WJR. Well, it was a great weekend in basketball for the men and some of the women. Michigan women continue. Unfortunately, Michigan State's women did not, but they put in a heck of an effort. Both the men's team, Michigan State and Michigan, are heading to the Sweet 16. We're all very happy about that. You heard much of the action right here on WJR. The big smile on Nick Lundberg's face, our WJR digital sports reporter who proudly went to Michigan State, is wearing his Michigan State sweatshirt, and we're excited that both MSU and U of M are heading to the Sweet 16, Nicky.
Oh, as always, I got to rep my Spartans, Paul, and I mean, this is just my favorite time of the year as a college basketball fan. Games on all day, every day, Thursday through Sunday. Can't get much better than this.
You haven't had any sleep until today, maybe.
Just a little bit.
I loved that. I love Tom Izzo. I miss talking to him in the mornings. But I love him. And somebody complimented him on it. They said, in effect, that this time of year, all the Michigan State teams, no matter who's playing for him, all look pretty much the same. And he said, that's a really fine compliment. You just delayed my retirement for two more years.
Well, I mean, there's a reason his nickname is Mr. March. Like, this guy, he always performs in the Sweet 16. Somehow every March, it seems he gets his team, everybody, no matter who's on the team, who's playing, they're all on the same page. They're all playing for the same goal. And this year in particular, they're rolling right now.
The Spartans now have an all-time record of 78-37 in NCAA tournament games. Since 1998, the Spartans are 17-5 in their second NCAA tournament game, and this will be MSU's 19th trip to the Sweet 16 since the NCAA tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1985. This will be the 17th visit under this incredible coach, Tom Izzo.
Well, I got to ask him a question about this last year when they made the Sweet 16. I was on site covering as an intern here at WJR, and he said, you know, this kind of run all started with when he first got to Michigan State. I believe he said they were playing Arkansas, and his motto, defend, rebound, and run, really became, you know, the mantra for the team and for the rest of his career. And, I mean, we've seen that in the past with his teams that have gone to the Final Four, and we see that with this year's team. And you know, they like to get out fast with Jeremy Fears. They hit the boards hard with Carson Cooper, a Jackson, Michigan native. And it just seems like one of those classic Izzo teams. And you've got another classic matchup upcoming with UConn on Friday night.
I don't know. I don't think I maybe even have ever heard of this coach. Dan Hurley?
Yes.
Boy, did he have nice things to say about facing off against Tom Izzo.
Yeah, Dan Hurley definitely respects Izzo. Obviously, they've you know, coached against each other in the past. Dan Hurley has multiple national championships under his belt, and Izzo has one, trying to get that second one. And it's always good to see the camaraderie between, you know, the best coaches in the game. Obviously, college sports, there's a lot going on with NIL and the transfer portal and all this other stuff. But to see kind of, you know, not for Hurley, he's kind of the new guard, but for Izzo, the old guard, for those two to kind of come together and, you know, show that respect that every elite coach should have for each other is pretty cool to see and makes this matchup even more exciting than it already is on paper.
During UConn's win over UCLA in the second round of the tournament, one of the things that this coach said was, quote, Talk about an honor to share the sideline with one of the greatest coaches and one of the most real coaches, not a phony in any way. In his post-game interview, he said this, what you see is what you get, and he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And he's always been my most respected coach that I've tried to model myself after at the college level. So I love Coach Izzo. Man, you don't hear that sort of thing like that, especially in the heat of battle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be saying that to each other during the game on Friday night necessarily.
I'm pretty sure they won't.
And, I mean, it's a 9:45 start, so they might be even be too tired at that point to even have enough trash talk in them. I'm sure that's not the case, but it'll be very exciting. Obviously, UConn is the 2 seed. Michigan State is the 3 seed. So there's a lot of, you know, storylines on both sides. UConn has got some NBA talent. Michigan State is looking to, you know, make it to the Elite Eight like they did last year for a potential matchup with Duke. There are a lot of, you know, big name teams in MSU's bracket, in Michigan's bracket, and this is just, I mean, what a week for college basketball.
Right, in just a couple of words, how does MSU match up with UConn?
I think they've got a good shot. UConn has some holes. They didn't have their best game. They pulled away late against UCLA, but MSU beat UCLA early in the season, so I think this sort of matchup works well, especially with what they saw last night.
And how about Michigan against Alabama?
I think Michigan rolls them. I feel like if Iowa State gets their best player back, that will be Michigan's most dangerous team to face on the road to the Final Four, but I think Michigan, especially since Alabama doesn't have their second leading scorer, they should be able to handle them on Friday night as well.
MSU's own. And, of course, WJR's own Nick Lundberg, WJR digital sports reporter. As always, Nicky, good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
We continue in Focus at 1:42. Well, you heard it here on our Friday show with Dave Riga. Riga reviews it that, although he only gave it 3 Wiggly's corned beef sandwiches. I thought he was going for 4, but he did 4 on the other one. But
I cannot read
the bowling one.
I cannot read when he likes a movie or not until he gives those Wiggly's out.
The sandwiches. Well, Project Hail Mary scored a touchdown at the box office, pulling in $80.6 million for the biggest opening weekend of any movie this year. The Ryan Gosling starring space epic added another $60.4 million globally, far exceeding projections. Pixar's Hoppers took second place with $18 million. Talk about way behind. Followed by the Indian action film Durandar, The Revenge with $10 million. Ready or Not 2, Here I Come, $9.1 million. And Reminders of Him, $8 million. So anyway, the big one without question was Project Hail Mary. So I do hope to see that. Looks like a lot of people went out of their way to see it. I have in my Monday column, which if you pick up the Detroit News, or maybe you go to DetroitNews.com and look for me, I think in the opinion section is where it is, Out of My Mind on a Monday Morning, with great respect to the great Bob Talbert of many years ago that I grew up reading. But I do that thing on Mondays now, and among other things, very small stuff, I talked about the most popular dog breeds. Now, the French Bulldog has been popular now 4 years. I'll never forget when it took over for Labradors. I didn't even know what a French Bulldog was, but man, do people love their French Bulldogs.
Yeah, like they the just, past decade or so.
Well, and it's been the leader for the last 4 or 5 years, but the Labs are still there. Labrador Retriever followed by, I listed this in my my Monday column in the Detroit News, Golden Retriever, German Shepherd, Dachshund, Poodle, Beagle, Rottweiler, German Short-Haired Pointer, and Bulldog. I don't know why on the list they say German Shepherd Dog. Not to be confused with a German Shepherd out in a field when we're talking about the top dogs.
Right, the profession.
This is the same problem I have with Vogue, the women's fashion magazine, going against Dog, which is a send-off on it of a dog fashion magazine. As if no one can tell the difference. Oh, I've been confused. I see all these dogs. I thought this was Vogue. The only people doing well in this are the lawyers. I can tell you that.
And Paul,
this I can tell you.
And it's interesting you bring that up because I just found out today is National Puppy Day.
Oh, and every puppy's good. In fact, I end my column with, we know what the top dog is. The greatest dog is your dog.
Yes,
and I know you and Chelsea feel that way.
Yeah, there's that saying that. something along the lines of everyone thinks that they have the best dog in the world and everyone's right.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. And that's how I ended the column as far as I remember. Meanwhile, our good friend Melissa Bunker, you know Melissa from Campbell Marketing, lets us know the internationally recognized hunger relief event Empty Bowls returns to Detroit for the first time in 6 years this Friday, I think it is. Yeah, this Friday, March 27th, with support from the title sponsor, D-Riven Engineering Solutions. The event unites Michigan ceramic artists, local restaurants, and Gleaners Community Food Bank to address food insecurity through handmade bowls, shared meals, and community action. Empty Bowls Detroit 2026, made possible through a new statewide collaboration of artists, educators, and community partners, organized by members of the Michigan Ceramic Art Association, MCAA, in partnership with Gleaners Community Food Bank. The event renews a 36-year tradition rooted in generosity, craft, and collective action. Empty Bowls Detroit 2026, taking place this Friday, the Eastern Market Shed 3. There are two sessions, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and 2:30 to 5 p.m. Tickets are $40, available at EmptyBowlsDetroit2026.org, EmptyBowlsDetroit2026.org, and at the door. Guests will select a handmade ceramic bowl to take home and enjoy a meal featuring soups prepared by some of Detroit's most respected culinary voices. So that's very nice. That's a wonderful event, Melissa. Thanks for letting us know about it. Have you ever, I want to try to speak the lingo. Have you ever thrown a pot? Have you ever? I don't know if that's right, thrown a pot. When you do the ceramic stuff, there's a place in Royal Oak that I used to take Sophie to all the time where they'd have the clay items and then you would paint them.
Oh.
Put them in the oven, yeah, and they'd come out these beautiful ceramic pieces.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there was a place called Plaster Playhouse in Sterling Heights that you would go do that. It was very big for, like, kids' birthday parties, believe it or not.
I believe that, yeah, because I remember seeing kids' birthday parties at this place, and I can't remember the name of it. I haven't been there in years, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good family fun thing.
Yeah, and it's something that you could try, and you don't need to be an expert at it. You just go right and have fun, and it was very accessible to everybody.
Hawaii is suffering the worst flooding in more than 20 years. Have them in your thoughts and prayers also. And then, did you see the list of the world's 10 happiest countries? We never make the list.
Isn't it always like, it's either Greenland or Iceland or Norway?
It's number one, Finland, followed by Iceland, and I think they trade back and forth, followed by Denmark, Costa Rica, Sweden, Norway, the Netherlands, Israel, Luxembourg, and Switzerland.
Wow.
Those are the top 10 happiest countries in 2026. Go figure. I don't know how they figure. I can see this at the bottom of the list. Afghanistan remains the unhappiest country in the world. Shocking news.
Yeah, that, you know what? If you would have given me three guesses, I probably would have only needed two to get to Afghanistan.
Yeah. Honey, we're going on a trip to Afghanistan. Honey. Anyway, well, we still have our trip. Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain. People keep asking. Yep, it's August 11th through the 22nd. Call Cruise and Tour at 800-383-3131. Say, I want to go with Paul W. and Kim in August. It's our dream vacation to Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain. 800-383-3131. Finally, getting ready, girding his loins, Ryan Ermani. They are afternoon.
They are girded. My ankles are taped. Paul, I am so excited for the show today. Can't wait for it.
Well, I'm just going to say this. As one of your adoring fans and one of your regular listeners, we are ready for you to be ready with your great Monday show, because you've had a whole weekend of stuff building up, and now it's going to all come out in minutes after the news that people are going to stand by for news, and then it's JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani.
It's building. We're building.
I can feel the pressure. I'm succumbing to the pressure. So I'm going to get out of your way Say thanks to the team, the team, the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, and our loving, adoring audience that we love and adore. Go on out, make it a great rest of the day. Regards, Paul W. Smith.